Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
A report from the Rape Crisis Network today in Ireland has said that more radical solutions are needed for how rape trials are conducted. It's as they claim that victims of rape can emerge from the witness box feeling the experience was as bad, this is dreadful, isn't it, if not worse than the sexual violence itself. One such plan would be to record the cross-examining of the complainant so that they didn't have to sit live in the witness stand and do it. And to discuss this now, I'm joined by Niamh Ní Dóil, who is an assistant psychologist who has worked with survivors of sexual violence and carried out research on the experience of disclosing sexual violence. Niamh, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much.
We've heard a lot lately, and I suppose there's been quite a high profile trial in Belfast where people have been, you know, listening to evidence from complainants and defendants and all that kind of stuff. And people have been talking subsequently about whether or not the court system is too hard on an alleged victim if they're coming forward and going to trial. What do you think about how hard it might be for victims or alleged victims going through our court system?
Well, I think the first thing is that we have to kind of take every individual as an individual and not kind of lump everyone in as kind of having the same experience. I think by and large, from both my own work and even just talking with people I know who've experienced sexual violence, most people say the same thing, which is that either if they did go through the reporting system, if they knew at the beginning how difficult it was, most will say that they never would have done it. And for those perhaps who've never reported it, say that they couldn't for fear of not being believed and for how difficult it is. So okay. I think the criminal justice system has a reputation that it may perhaps needs to look up.
So that's a pretty damning statistic that the majority of victims, irrespective of the outcome of the trial, would say that they if they had their time over, they wouldn't have put themselves through the trial. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
That's a sobering thought, isn't it? That there's something being, somebody's being failed somewhere there. What do you think needs to change for the victims of sexual crimes in order for the system to serve them better? I suppose the whole point of a justice system is to, you know, protect victims of crimes and I suppose punish those guilty of crimes. What needs to change?
Well, I think there's a few things. I mean, I think first of all, like for many people, they need to kind of get used to the court system first. They need to get used to the environment and to, you know, meeting with the prosecution, meeting with barristers and solicitors. I was lucky enough in my own case that I was able to meet with the prosecution, but I know that not everyone always has the opportunity to. And even within that, you might meet with one senior counsel one day before the trial or before a court case, and you might actually have different representation, or you might have a different set of barristers in front of you the next. So that lack of consistency can be quite difficult for someone to deal with. I think even just understanding a lot of the jargon, because obviously the criminal justice system is incredibly wordy. So mm-hmm. understanding that whole process and what everything means, I think there could be a little bit more work done there. And I think, you know, it's been really interesting to hear these novel ideas about kind of dog assistance in court, because this is something that I've read around before, and I'm excited to hear it being mentioned in an Irish context. But I think the other thing that has always felt really kind of important for me, and it was something that I brought up when I was working with the service that I was working with survivors of sexual violence, was the idea that perhaps, is there a way for us to coach witnesses, coach victims or survivors on how to give evidence? So, of course, it wouldn't be about coaching them on how to give their evidence, and there's a kind of a clear distinction to be made there. But of course, it's quite difficult to get up in a courtroom mm-hmm. and to speak. And if you're not used to public speaking, and you know, you have whatever kind of residual trauma or whatever kind of mental health issues, perhaps as a result of what's happened to you, that's an incredibly daunting experience. And if you put on top of that all of the nerves of being cross-examined and what you're going to be asked and how perhaps your character may be torn apart or assumptions made about your mental health, you can see how it's incredibly difficult for someone to give a clear, concise answer about a traumatic event 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Can I ask you, obviously you were alluding there to the fact that you yourself have gone through the court system as a victim of a sexual assault. How difficult is it for somebody, Niamh, who's sitting in the box in the courtroom to discuss intimate personal details of their lives with random strangers in a sort of a measured, dispassionate kind of way? I can't imagine discussing such intimate aspects of my life in a public forum at a sort of a remove, as if it wasn't my own intimate life being discussed. How challenging is that for somebody?
Again, I think it's different for everybody. So I think for some, it's an incredibly distressing process. It's horrific. If I speak from my own perspective, and I was just discussing this with my mom actually quite recently, I think that I compartmentalized a lot of that experience. And I think that at the time, I presented as very calm, very together, and I was able to take the cross-examination. But I think reflecting back on it, it's not that I was calm. It's not that everything was perfectly fine. That was very much a coping mechanism that I was employing at that time. And so that's, again, what I keep coming back to is this idea, first of all, that everyone is going to have a very different experience of the whole process. But equally, how someone presents, whether it's in giving evidence or while giving evidence with the guards or perhaps giving evidence in court, how they seem may not necessarily exactly betray exactly how they're feeling or how that response is for them.
Do you think, and taking it away from your own experience of court, but your own work, obviously, with other survivors of sexual violence and all that, all you know, it's a broad church of people who have been assaulted and who've gone through the court system. Are the victims perceived differently, do you think, in courts, depending on how they sit and act on that stand? Like, if someone cries, are they perceived differently to somebody who remains calm and together? We're all human, and the court is a place full of human beings. But does credibility become undermined if somebody's too calm? Or does credibility become undermined if somebody's too emotional or what have you? Is that very difficult for victims, knowing how to behave in order to get their story across in a way that it is believed and understood, you know, even though it's a true story, you know, in many cases?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've hit the nail on the head, is that, like, you go in there and you're hyper aware of absolutely every way that you're, if you're not upset at all, does it seem like you're lying, or does it, you know, absolutely. And I think that's the thing, because you are on stand, you feel on trial. So I know certainly I was scrutinizing, you know, everything down to what I wore or what I didn't wear, let alone how I presented in terms of, you know, like how I sounded. But again, I think for my own experience, again, I just put everything to one side and just tried to kind of, because you're trying to focus on not stumbling over your words. You know, it's even just the small things, like when you're walking up to take the stand, you know, you're petrified that you're going to fall and everyone's going to laugh at you because you're so nervous. So there's so many things there, and it's, you know, and again, it comes back to this thing of public speaking is incredibly difficult, let alone in a court.
Yeah, that thing you just said there, it's said often, but is that how it feels? You know, it was said during this recent case that the media was focused on in Belfast, but that it appears to onlookers like the victim of a sexual assault is on trial themselves. Is that how it feels?
I think it's very hard for it not to feel that way, because when you have made the complaint, you are a witness to the state. You are not; they are not your representation. It doesn't feel like anyone is there on your side, and you have to be able to tell your story, and no one can coach you or tell you how to do that. That's incredibly difficult, and it's incredibly difficult to do it with something so intimate, so kind of shame laden, something that's caused, you know, for most individuals, I would say it's caused some level of distress. And it's embarrassing, because you have to be able to talk about all of that. And these are things, you know, in terms of like mental health and trauma, it's not easy necessarily to talk about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. With regard to the changes that they're talking about bringing in, do you think that they would make a big difference if you could have your time over? Do you think, for example, being videoed rather than having to appear live in court, would that have been an easier road? You know, having your own personal representation, you mentioned the fact that it's the state who takes a case, so you don't have anybody sort of acting for you the way somebody who has a defence team of lawyers have people specifically acting for them. Would those things make a difference in terms of how copable with the system is for alleged victims?
I think the main thing is that there needs to be some sense of individuality. So, you know, for some people, they may actually want to take the stand. That may be part of them reclaiming a sense of themselves, being able to, you know, I know from my own perspective, I addressed all of my evidence kind of between the judge and Magnus because I wanted to reclaim that sense of power. But of course, for many others, they don't want to see the person who's done this to them. So I think it's about giving people the option and letting them choose. I think that's incredibly important. And that's empowering a person in a situation where they've been incredibly disempowered. But I think one point that we do kind of have to make when we're talking about the criminal justice system and sexual violence is that we know that the vast majority of individuals who experience sexual violence never report.
Yeah.
And so I think what we need to do is we need to take a step back and instead of kind of course, do whatever we can to make the system better. But I think if we want people to report more, we need to foster a culture that says, I believe you, that says, you know, like, this isn't about the legal system. I believe what you're saying. I believe your experience. And I think if we can, and again, it's, you know, it's about kind of like addressing rape culture and saying, you know, it's not for anyone else to disbelieve someone's experience.
All right.
You, for my part, when I was working with survivors, I always worked from a point of belief because it wasn't my job to disbelieve.
Okay.
And I think that's the shift that we need to see in society first, because it's not for you or I to discredit someone's experience.
Okay.
And then work from there. And I think if people feel supported and believed, I think that we could see more people feeling empowered and supported to report.
Okay. Niamh Downell, assistant psychologist, someone who works with survivors of sexual violence there. Thank you very much for that indeed. Let me know what you think. 53106. We do know a couple of things. We know we have the lowest rate of convictions for rape in Europe, in Ireland, and we know when we base it on the number of people who tell us they've been assaulted and then the number of people who report to the guards and the number of people who actually get a conviction, it's less than 1 in 100 rapes in this country result in a conviction. We also know this, we know that the single biggest risk factor for rape occurring is the belief you'll get away with it. So all of that adds up to something a little bit toxic, doesn't it? And even presuming innocent till proven guilty, because I do think that people get scared of the notion that that might be eroded. So let's presume that completely. What can we do to make it easier? You heard what Niamh said. The majority of people wish they hadn't gone to court afterwards. We're failing people. If it was victims of murder or victims of robbery or whatever who were coming out of the court system saying, I wish I'd never bothered to do that, it was too horrible. And we'd be saying something needs to change. Something needs to change this. What do you think? 53106, let us know what you think. Thanks again for listening to this Lunchtime Live podcast. Please do subscribe via the app or on iTunes and check us out on newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Talk to you again soon.